Der Surf Europa Podcast.
BBC World Service presents.
This is London.
Made the road.
Welcome to the Surf Europe podcast. I'm Paul Evans.
And I'm Ben Mundy.
Ben, we're back again. It's been a little while, but never mind all that. We're back now.
But yeah, that's my thing.
What's going on? What's new? What have you got?
Oh, mate, I've got so much. I mean, what are we going to talk about, Paul?
Yeah, we've got you getting deselected from the sort of second or third tier of WSL commentary. We'll come to that in a minute, mate. But yeah.
Sure. Yeah, it is one of your favourite topics, I'm aware. I think it might have been shifted up to the alternate on the CT. I haven't actually had the official confirmation of that, but that seems to be the only sort of conclusion I can draw.
We
can talk about that, Paul.
I've actually done an event since the last time we recorded. I did a QS down in Portugal without you, and I think maybe just the global audience as well as the powers that be thought, you know what, this guy, they kind of like me on my own, I guess. They just thought...
Yeah, but you're
it was like...
You're willing to go down to, like, what, 3,000s, 1,000s? I mean, you're just on a downward... sort of thousand spiral at the moment with your
I was like
commentary.
George Michael strokes of Gary Barlow, and you were like Jason Orange and take that, or obviously Andrew Ridgely from Wham, or just even someone else and take that no one can remember. Was it Howard someone?
And only you had Take That posters on your wall, mate. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Actually, Ben, I'll tell you what else is quite interesting. I saw a really good piece on the WSL website recently, like a half-time report. It was about like an analysis of the mid-season, about what a fascinating year it's been. There's been 5 events, 5 different winners. I know, I'm genuinely excited. How about you, mate? You've been doing quite a lot of stuff on the WSL website. What's the pick of the bunch that you've done lately? Was it the Jorgen Cousinet interview that you did?
That was huge. Yeah, that went viral. Poor guy, forced to leave his home. Because of sharks, I've talked to some of the key players in the surfing world. I talked to Dale Staples, the wild card for J Bay.
Do you know what I think he'll always be remembered for? Is in the it was a prime in Cash Case, and at Carcavelos, and he was duck diving, and he like wiped out as one of the Gadauskases. It was Tanner Gadauskas, who was quite close to qualifying, and he. He basically was kind of, they surfed right down the beach and basically one of the surfers hit him. He was duck diving. He didn't really punch through the wave enough. And like, basically it was the way for the score that would have sort of seen Tanner get through, and he didn't. That was kind of, that's probably like his mark on surfing, other than whatever it is you've just talked about, his wild card for J-Bay. Other than that.
Yeah. He's been a wild card at J-Bay before, actually, but that was a long time ago. And his brother was the man behind the Geordie Smith recent biopic. So there you go, there's some interesting stats. Speaking of hitting the head though, Paul, did you see Koa Rothman get hit in the head by a 9-foot board?
Yeah, that looked pretty nasty, poor guy.
Yeah. Check that out if you haven't seen it. Koa Rothman pulling into like a sort of 10-foot wave on a 9-foot board, and some sort of 60-year-old kook was, I think, just out there just having fun, just watching. I wasn't actually surfing. He was a bit too old and too slow. He was hanging out watching, and he just for some inexplicable reason sort of just watches him a bit too close. Let's go his board, and the 9-foot board smacks Rothman in the face, and he swallowed a few teeth and knocked his teeth out and cracked him in the head and gave him a headache, but he was all right. But, yeah, if you haven't seen it, Koa Rothman on Instagram. It's well worth a look.
Mm. Have you been surfing much up there in London, Ben? Have you been getting in much? How's it been?
Yeah, it's been pumping over here, absolutely pumping. Have you been surfing much, Paul?
Oh, well, actually, Ben, it's funny you should ask. Yes, I have. It's been really good. I've actually discovered a magical sort of once in a millennium, absolute perfect sort of half foot sandbar. there's this like kind of 6 to 10 inch sandbar formed. It's obviously a right-hander, which is perfect. So I said it's backhand on the longboard, which is always a pleasure. But it's like literally the most perfect wave you could ever imagine. And I've been surfing that on my own most days in the sort of, yeah, in the sort of 20 to 25 centimetres.
Oh, that's surprising.
Yeah, it's been really, really
that's
good.
That's surprising.
Yeah, it's been really good, mate. I've been getting in a ton.
Have you been surfing a bit close to home, though, given your current transport arrangements?
Yes, okay, you're talking about my car. You're making mirth of the fact that my Volkswagen Bora TDI 2001 estate blew up on the motorway in Spain the other day and left me with a cockpit full of acrid black smoke, left me stranded on that sort of mountainous, really dangerous motorway that goes down to Bilbao. I was on my way to Mundaka for a Vans gig, actually. I was going to go and have dinner with the Dane Gadowskis. But I never made it. Actually, I was talking to the guy from Vans, the guy that does the PR at Vans, on the phone. I was like, okay, yeah, I'm coming down. He's like, yeah, sweet. We've got the Euro team and Dane's over here. I was like, oh, sick, Dane's over. And he's like, yeah, Gidowskis. I was like, oh, okay, cool. That's still good, though. Still good. But anyway, I never made it down. He had to qualify. Which day? But I never made it down. Car blew up, and at the moment, yeah, I'm sort of fucked.
Enjoy this trip, and it is a trip.
Ben, let's go to a part of the show we like to call.
Oh, that's bad. No, that's good.
What have you got that's good?
Mick Campbell is alive, and that's good. Cambo, you might know him as the Ginger Ninja, came number 2 in the world back in 1998, maybe. And, you know, he's a close personal friend of mine, of course. And I saw him recently, and footage popped up, and it was like one of those amazing Cambo-y sessions. And there's one guy got this tube, and goes, it's just one of those radical, massive Cambo-y tubes. And I was like, that's fucking Cambo. I was so stoked to see the Ginger Ninja, and I put it on Facebook. I went, look, check out this way from Cambo. I love this guy. I was getting real right into him. And then the next thing I look online, and he's almost died surfing his home break. So I got in touch with him, and I spoke to his missus, Talia Redgard's his missus, who also charges. She was out at Candoey's that same session getting some bombs. But anyway, they're out there surfing. So Iluka, which is the next sort of over the river mouth from Yamba on the north coast of New South Wales. It's a great right-hander, but it's pretty isolated. It was like 6 to 8 foot, she said. And they're out surfing, get some fun waves. All of a sudden, she took the cross after wave, and Campbell's floating face down. And Talia went over, grabbed him, administered CPR, and resuscitated him while he was on the board. She was out there for 10 minutes, she reckons, and it was like solid 6 foot swells coming through. Had to deal with a few sets on the head. Kept him alive, literally kept him alive. Got him to shore, and then someone raised the emergency service, and they had to come down in the car. But that took a while, and the whole time she worked on him. Anyway, she survived, went to hospital. Cambo's out now, they're back surfing. So it was just one of those sort of stories where, I don't know, a hero in Talia, and Mick Campbell's alive. She is a friggin' absolute hero. So, yeah, talk about doing the dishes for next month or so.
What would you...
So much credit in the bank.
What would you say his biggest career achievement was, Campbell? I'd probably say it was when he punched Andy Irons in the face in the shower at Board End.
I went looking for the footage of that. You can't find it. It's really hard to find, but I always remember that. Yeah, that was brilliant.
That's epic.
I just showed Campbell, though, like... Andy was giving him shit, kept giving him shit. Cambo's going, whatever. And then eventually, like, Cambo just said, enough of that, and just plonked him right in the nose. And then Andy tried to hit him with his surfboard. You know what? They sorted that out, though. Like, they were good mates after that. I've talked to Cambo about that, and he said that was sweet. Like, Cambo was sweet. He thought he was going to be in a strife with a wine crew, but it all worked out because everyone likes Cambo. But, yeah, that was one of his biggest. I would say coming second in the world. No, I would say retiring from the sport, going into boxing, which he did, and then came back like 3 or 4 years later and thought he was no chance, qualified for the CT, and then had another 3 years on the CT, pretty much unsponsored. So that was another massive career achievement in a pretty impressive career. Yeah, Cambo. Woo!
On your card.
On your cat.
On your cat, seat cat.
What have you got?
No. That's good.
What's good, Ben, and I'm pretty sure you agree with me, is surfing in the contest area. Right, you with me? I don't know if you remember.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if you remember Sean Briley. There was like a couple of incidents where he was sort of getting a couple of waves in between the sort of semis and the final at Pipe. And
well, I don't know about that, but I do remember when I infiltrated the New South Wales State bodyboard finals that were held at my local beach at Redhead Beach.
Well, I'll see your New South Wales State bodyboard finals, and I'll see.
I just paddled out, Paul.
I'll see Briley's sort of the Pipe Masters, whatever, and I'll raise you me surfing a sick left in Senios. I'm not going to say which beach during the Czech Republic National Surfing Championships. I've been surfing this wave pretty much only going to this bank for, since about March or April, so a few months.
It's above 6 inches, like a proper wave.
Yeah, no, proper wave. Wait, it breaks basically from 1 foot to sort of 6 foot. But anyway, I'll be going there non-stop all the time. I rocked up one day. I was like, oh, I wonder if it's going to be crowded. I don't know. I ran over. There's hardly anyone out. I was like, oh, great. This is amazing. And then my heart sort of sank as halfway down the beach, I realised there's a contest on, there's guys and singers, and they just had a contest at the weekend, actually, like a proper one, a kind of a French one, the regional one or something. Anyway, whatever. I realised it was the Czechs. I knew the guy doing the announcing, Kevin Olsen, South African guy that lives here, and I know he does the sort of beach announcing every year for it.
Is he fluent in Czech as well?
Well, he sort of does it in, well, I'd say English in inverted commas. He does it in, you know, South African English, so I was like, oh, okay, it's just the Czechs. Surely I can kind of pull a bit of rank here. So I paddled out anyway. There's like four of them in the lineup, waves are pumping. And generally, like maybe one of them could sort of semi surf. And I just basically surfed for a couple of hours. Absolutely amazing. It was just awesome. I really enjoyed myself. Felt a little bit kind of naughty. But at the same time, I didn't really take any waves off anyone. So it was like a win-win situation, Ben surfing in the contest area.
You don't know that, Paul. There could have been some Krakow. No, that's Polish, sorry.
Yeah, good.
some Pragian.
Oh, they're all the same, aren't they, Ben, to you? They're all the same, aren't they, mate?
Trained all his life, made the final, the Czech, to become Czech national surf champion. And there's some fucking pommy guy down the end of the line wrecking his waves, putting him off. I don't know. I don't know if I like this, Paul.
Au contraire. I'd like to
wreck some dreams.
I would like. I think basically it was like the repercharge charge round or something. Anyway, but it was like round two, no loser round.
What is it with those amateur events and the repercharges? I mean, repercharges haven't been used. Why do they still exist? You lose, you lose.
I'd like to think I did inspire one or two of them onto new heights because I did notice almost by the end of the heat some guys that could sort of barely get to their feet. I noticed when they were doing a kind of a few little Evans-esque kind of moves, like they had a couple of certain sort of things that you'd go, yeah, that's kind of Evans-y. So I almost think I kind of maybe influenced them a couple during the heat. They actually progressed during the heat seeing me. So, you know, as I said, surfing sometimes it's, you know, about what you can get for yourself. It's also about giving back, Ben.
I look forward to seeing the Czech national team competing at the 2020 Olympics because that's what it's all about.
Yes. Ben, what else have you got that's...
Well, I know it's probably... It'll be old hat by the time you get around betting in this, Paul, but the old Julian Wilson's hole-in-one was pretty good. Have you seen that footage?
You're talking about golf?
Yeah, so it's...
Oh, who gives a flying fuck?
So Julian's playing, I think it's... What's that, Jay Bay or whatever the course is near there? I think it's Cape St. Francis. It's Snake and...
It just gets better and better. So my two favourite people in surfing, Julian Wilson and Jake Patterson.
And Tommy Witts. You got to like Tommy
Witts,
isn't there?
Yeah, he's a good guy.
And I think maybe Leo. Anyway, Julian hits a shot. It's one of those sort of long par threes. And anyway, short story long, the ball goes in the hole and a hole in one. And it's a bit of a, like, it takes a while for it to roll back in the hole and they all get really happy. And I wanted to be like you, Paul. I wanted to be a cynic. But it's just one of those good sort of rare sporting moments where they're genuinely happy for each other. And it's pretty fucking hard to do to hole in one. So anyway, I just quite liked it. It was a little bit of a feel-good little moment off, you know, on the sidelines of surfing. And, yeah, I liked it. Check it out. If you don't get a smile out of it, Paul, you're... You're just a harsh, harsh man.
Did Julian smile?
Julian, that handsome face lit up.
Well, there's something.
Makes your heart sore seeing that kid smile.
That's not something you can say every day, is it? Julian Wilson smiling.
Well, maybe around you. So I've had some great times with Julian. What else have you got, Paul? That's
Stephanie Gilmore.
I'm willing to hear this because I might be able to jump in on this.
Stephanie Gilmore's good for a couple of reasons. I don't know if you saw a clip she released the other day, the holiday, I can't even remember what it's called, but that was pretty good.
On the North Shore.
Yep, that one by Morgan Masson. Good clip.
Yeah.
But that's not the reason why she's good. She's obviously, how many times world champion? Four or something? Five? Three? She's won multiple.
Six.
You don't even know. Six, is it?
Yeah, I think it's six.
Yeah, he's rapidly looking it up. He doesn't even know. Yeah, so she's a multiple world champion. She's awesome, very famous. I've got a project coming up, actually, Ben. So I was trying to get some services involved.
That's unlike you, Paul.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's just a once a year thing. And I was looking to get someone involved. I thought, I know. I'll drop Steph a line. I'll drop her a mail. You never know. Sent her an email. Hi, Steph. Guess what? She replied in like under a day, just overnight. Replied, very professional, sort of courteous, but politely declined, obviously. But I just thought, that's amazing. And she imagines she's pretty busy, and like you know, maybe a manager. Yeah.
I tell you why she's busy, Paul. Because one of her new roles is as the Woolworths brand ambassador in Australia.
Yeah, I saw something about that. You guys are such idiots. You call Woolworths, don't you call it Woolworth? Or is that America?
It's Woolworths.
Oh, sorry. And I think in America it's called Woolworth. Anyway, whatever. Sorry. I take it back, Australia. You're all right. You just call Weetabix. You just call Weetabix Weet-Bix. And she is sponsored by them. So fuck you. You get all the names wrong. You're idiots. But anyway, let me carry on anyway. Enough.
But how cool can you be when you're the Woolworths brand ambassador?
Very cool. Anyway, mate. So she replied. She declined. She said, actually, Paul, those dates, I'll be competing at the at Trestles at the Swatch Women's Fair. I was like,
Now, you should have known that before you asked him to go on those dates, Paul, for your one and only project of the year.
Yeah, I was like, that old chestnut, is it? The old CT event excuse, is it? You can't make an exception just this time, can't you, Steph? All right. But no, anyway, she's got the CT on at Trestles at the time, so she can't get involved. But anyway, I just thought she's awesome. She's probably the second most famous person I know. And she replied, which is cool, because we go back a little way. I mean, we've done a boat trip together, and, you know, we go back a little way.
So, what about Paul and Addo? Could she make it, or how's your project looking?
Still waiting for her to get back to me, but actually, although you say that in jest, I did email Alana Blanchard as well, who hasn't got back.
No, she's pregnant.
Hasn't got back to me yet.
Well, she's also, like, 4 months pregnant, so she might be sort of clearing the schedules a little bit. When she's having a baby?
I didn't know that at the time when I emailed. The news hadn't broke on Stab TMZ when I sent the email. But she hasn't replied anyway, so I think maybe they're having some internet problems on Kauai.
Do you want me to CC in Lane Beachley? Because I'll do that.
Do you mean Lane? Lane?
Lane? I'll CC Lane in and she'll be able to shot.
Yeah, okay, mate. So anyway, yeah, Steph Gilmore, basically, she's freaking awesome. You didn't ask me who's the most famous person I knew when I said she's the second. That was like a carrot dangling. You meant to go,
I've long since learned that those carrots you dangle in front of me are just rotten old fruit. But no, who is the most famous person you know, Paul?
No, I'm not even going to say it now. No, don't worry about it. You and the listeners were just...
Don't worry about me, Paul.
You and the listeners will just have to guess.
Your nose off to spoil your face. It's not me. It's the listeners that want to know.
Yeah, well, they'll just have to guess. Tell who is listeners. It that Paul possibly know that's more famous than Stephanie, the world famous Stephanie Gilmore? And changing tack, what have you got that's...
I saw Geez, this is a bit tricky. I don't want to be too negative, too cynical, but it is a bad. It is called Big Bad. I was a bit worried. I saw Nick von Rupps. He's not the most famous guy we know, is he?
No, he isn't. He's supposed to be coming on the show, actually. Let's see how that develops.
Yeah, no, I really want to talk to him about this. Maybe not after I say this, but I saw his movie. Man, I'm a massive NVR fan. I reckon he's one of the biggest, best, and most handsome chargers on the planet, and I fucking love him. But I thought his new film, I could have got it wrong. I think he might have been Yoko Ono. I think he may have been Yoko.
What does that mean, Ben?
Well, it just means when a female comes in and who you're obviously enamoured with and got a lot of time for and maybe takes over the creative process a little bit to the detriment, maybe, of said creative project. And his film's a lot about great-looking ways and awesome barrels and big charge, and then there's a sort of a subline, a narrative of this very attractive girl. Don't get me wrong, she's gorgeous and she's got a lot of smart things to say, but she's just talking about her travels. I'm just a bit like, I just don't know whether that was a good fit in the narrative speaking. I just wondered whether he may have been a little bit kind of, let's just call it construct, Paul. Let's be honest here. You know, let's not call it beat around the bush. this is controversial. We might need to edit this out, but yeah. So yeah, that was, I just thought might have been. I'm more worried about Nico than anyone else.
Yeah,
I worry about it.
Don't worry. I solemnly swear, Ben, I will not edit that bit out that you just said. Definitely, that's definitely going in the podcast. Funny you come to mention that. I actually went to the world premiere of that movie Reef Road in San Sebastian at the Hurley Surf Centre. With Nick, and I said to his lovely, beautiful, long-term girlfriend, Carlotta, they should have put you in the movie. You're better than her, that girl. But it didn't happen for whatever reason. And then we went out...
Who was that girl?
Don't know, mate. No idea. Just someone. And then we went out in San Sebastian and got drunk on the Hurley Tab. And I even found some good food that wasn't sort of pink fish mousse served on a sort of over-elaborate, ridiculous bit of something on top of a bar with loads of people farting and breathing on it all night, masquerading as gourmet gourmet cuisine, which is what the cunts normally eat down there. So, yeah, actually this Aussie guy who has opened...
Of course it was.
A bar stroke restaurant, and they do amazing, beautiful food, vegetarian food, really good. And you can sit down at a table and they'll bring it over to you. You don't have to sort of stand at the bar getting fucking heartburn and indigestion with cunts leaning over the fucking omelette and all that. They actually bring it over and you sort of eat like civilised people. So it was really, really good.
Could you give me a brief synopsis of the next morning and how that went for you as well?
Yeah, really bad. Really, really bad. We talked about this off air, and let's just say I had to get up very early after quite a late night. I'd forgotten about this. I had to get up very early to do the school run because the Evans is, well, we used to only have one car. Now we've got none since the Bora blew up the other day. But at the time, we were a one-car family, and I was tasked with the school run in the morning. So I thought if I get up at 6, I can drive back and still take Zach to school. And let's just say in the car park, when I sort of stumbled to my car in the morning after staying at Billy, who's a former Surf Europe Online editor, Billy also, I stayed at his apartment. I had a little accident then in the car park, let's just put it that way.
Right.
Yes. Yeah.
Was this an indoor car park, like an underground
car
park?
No, it was the outdoor one at Gross Beach.
And
it involved... I had to do an emergency shit in the car park, basically, Ben. I'll lay it all bare. I can't live.
We've got the temerity to question Nick von Rupp's creative process. when one of us, as a pair, I'm somehow including myself in your poor behaviour.
Yes.
Literally laying cables in a public car park at 8 in the morning.
No, they weren't cables, dude. I wish. A couple of morning joggers, sort of two or three kind of morning runners, had a truly awful sight greeting them. Yeah. Oh, look, Nick Von Rupp's just popped up online. Let's see if we can get hold of him in a minute, actually. Let's see if we can get hold of Nick.
Paul, have you got anything else that...
Yeah. I saw something really, really, truly awful. I think it's what they call as fugly the other day. Imagine the stand-up paddleboard, that in itself is, you know, that's not the best, but you know those Tomo surfboards that are sort of pointed at the front? I don't know what they're called. You know the Tomo boards?
Yeah.
They kind of look awful, just the surfboards even look terrible, whatever, but they look quite good if you're ripping like Slater or something, but even then they still look kind of shit. Well, imagine that scaled up, right, to a stand-up paddle. So I saw this German girl the other day.
They got those Viders or whatever. They got like a hexagonal.
Sometimes. Yeah, but imagine that as a stand-up paddle. What the actual fuck is the world coming to? Like, what's the process where you go, oh, no, I want to get a stand-up. What should I get? Should I get one of those inflatable ones? Or should I get just sort of one of those big red things? No, I know. I want one of those sort of Tomo whatever they're fucking called, pointy at the front things. That, seriously. And then, basically, she sort of made her way into the lineup. She was a German. There were quite a lot of Germans in town during the month of June. And she couldn't, like, she's basically sort of a beginner as well. I mean, I don't know much about the hydrodynamics. I don't reckon that kind of shape is ideal if you're just trying to figure out how to do stand-up paddling either. It doesn't seem that user-friendly. Why would you do it to yourself, Ben?
I don't know, Paul. It sounds like a silly, silly idea. Poorly thought of, stupidly executed, and I don't like it at all. I'm in complete agreement for once with you there.
I don't know if you in the surf world can hear me type in, but I'm just seeing if I can get Nick Von Rupp. See if we can get hold of him, and maybe I'll play him back and then sort of the stuff you just said about him, Ben.
Yeah, I'd probably prefer you didn't. I'd prefer to talk to him, you know, face to face, really, that sort of stuff.
Have you got anything else?
Yeah, I've got one thing that's bad. Now, again, I'm on shaky territory here. But, Jack O'Neill dying, obviously, that's bad. He was a legend of the sport. That was sad. And I felt the emotion of it all. But then I kind of was a bit worried about the general surfing outpouring of grief, and the fact that there was like 9 or 10 countries around the world that did paddle outs and things. And I kind of was like, I mean, Jack had a big influence, and he must have touched a lot of people. I'm just wondering, all these people I saw like in a paddling circle in the Netherlands, I just thought, do they meet him? Do they know him? And it kind of reminded me a bit when Andy Irons died as well, and there was similar things happening all around. I was just like, that sort of public outpouring of... I mean, maybe I'm just being a fucking dick, and maybe I'm just generally positive celebration of a life into something that doesn't need to be. Maybe I'm the bad guy here, Paul. But I just sometimes I thought it was a bit of overkill when I saw, you know, Belgium, Japan,
Newquay
had it, and everyone wears wetsuits. Maybe it's a wetsuit thing. Maybe just, you know, or maybe it was a. They had come across Jack and he had influenced their lives in a positive way. That's great. It just made me feel a little bit uneasy. But having said that, I still like to send my, shout out to Jack and all the things he achieved. And yeah, that's it. That's my bad.
Yeah. I've been to Pat O'Neill's house, his son.
Right. Is he the most famous person you know?
No. And I met Sean Thompson actually when I was there. I was hanging out a bit with Sean Thompson. I saw his movie on the plane on the flight over to San Francisco from London. I saw the movie. It was like part of the in-flight entertainment. And then I think I was coming out of the toilet, actually. Just a wee this time. I think Sean Martin might have been going for number two. Anyway, I sort of crossed him and I was like, hey, Sean Thompson, legend. I saw your movie. And he was like really, he seemed like really interested to sort of see what I thought about it. Really nice guy. Great guy.
Yeah, he's a legend.
Legend, mate. Yeah. Bit of poo stance, but total.
He's on the WSL. He's doing the commentary.
He's on the WSL. Bloody hell! He must be one of the oldest qualifiers.
Yeah, he's come back. He's got the wild card.
I've been to Pat's house, who was awesome. He put on a great spread, some really nice vegetarian burritos with he kind of did the peppers and all that sort of stuff on the barbecue and then put them in my burrito. So, nice. You know, a really nice standard of catering. Well, when I say he, they had a lot of Mexicans come in, some caterers, and do it. But it was really, really yummy. And they do a thing every year at the Cold Water Classic, basically. They do a night round at a Pat's house. And those are just the circles I roll in, Ben.
Yeah.
It's just a
a
brief glimpse into
the... Well, obviously, for Pat and his family, it's massive. And I give my condolences. And
Ben, what have you got against the Belgians specifically? Is there, I know it's like a real kind of quite a pronounced hatred for the Belgian surf community. What's this about, Ben?
No, not so much hatred for the Belgian surf community. I think they do their bit. I just think that, you know, once again, it was just, I use them as probably as an example of a lesser known surf country that might not have had such a close affiliation with Jack O'Neill, and so it felt a bit weird. Having said that, I know the O'Neill Europe offices were based in Amsterdam for a very, very long time, and so maybe that was where Jack did impact on a lot of people in the northern European flatlands of the surf community. So, Paul, love Belgian surfers, and I know they're out there listening now. Hey, guys, I'm with you all the way.
Maybe they were just a pack of cunts and whatever. And Jack O'Neill died. Massive bummer, but whatever. We can't just be doing paddle outs willy-nilly all the time, can we?
Where do you draw the line?
But I did actually do the Andy Irons paddle out in Puerto Rico. And I've got...
Well, Puerto Rico is a different story because that was where the whole surf community and all his closest friends and family were.
Yeah.
So that makes sense.
Yeah.
But when they were doing ones, when they were Facebook shout-outs to go do one at Brighton Pier, that's when I was like, well, fucking come on, guys. No, I'm not going to that. I don't see the relevance. I don't see how my very small, tiny percentage of grief is worth celebrating around a circle
of
strangers.
I don't want to go too deep on this, but where do you think they might do paddle outs for sort of like, I don't want to talk about you dying, mate. I mean, hopefully you got a lot of really fruitful years left in you left. But like, where do you think there might be different paddle outs for sort of famed surf journalist Ben Mundy? Former surf commentator Ben Mundy, do you think there might be paddle outs for you in different locations?
Yeah.
You said Brighton. You spent a bit of time in Brighton, haven't you?
I like to think I get, like, depending on the day and how good the surf is.
Bournemouth?
I think I might get, like, 10 guys from sort of Newcastle paddling out somewhere, but, you know, it would be completely dependent on depending how good the surf was, whether it was a Thursday or a weekend, the efficiency of the organiser, whether their heart was really in it.
What about the Billabong office in Southwest France? Do you still work for them?
They'd be doing well to go to paddling circle themselves.
You still work for them?
Yeah, I work.
Still
as a contractor, Paul, do loads of work for
them.
They'd be upset.
Did you upload one of your own personal pictures onto the Billabong Instagram the other day, Ben? I mean, I know you did. That's why I ask.
I did, just to check that all the setting standards are still working. I was with Richard Marsh, the... Billabong Junior International Development Coach. So there was some kind of relevance. But I did, in fact, do that, and then I quickly took it down. It was a photo of me and Dog and his young daughter eating a meat pie. So probably not quite on brand message.
Well, I reckon they'd probably do a paddle out for you. And I know for a fact the WSL office, a lot of the guys there are really seriously into your stuff as well. A lot of your writing. Not so much commentary.
Oh, I know. I've only got one sort of directive. Paul, you can carry this out if you so choose, that at my funeral, wherever it may be, just the song will be Simply Reds. If you don't know me by now, you'll never, never know me.
Der Surf Europa Podcast.
Well, Ben, some of the less complimentary feedback we receive is along the lines of, what the fuck do you pricks know about surfing anyway? Well, Ben, let's find out. It's time for a brand new feature called
Podcaster Mastermind.
Okay, so Ben, how it works is there's going to be 5 questions on a specialist subject relating to surfing. Tell me, what subject have you chosen?
Five the times Michael Eugene Fanning.
Okay, so Ben Mundy's opted for five questions, five of the best on the life and times of Mick Fanning. And I've opted, Ben, for a place, for subjects very close to my heart, surf spots of the North Shore of Oahu.
It's right up my street too, Paul, so we'll see.
Ben Mundy, your five questions on the life and times of Mick Fanning starts now. Mick Fanning went to school with Joel Parkinson. What was the name of that high school?
Palm Beach Currumbin State High School.
That is correct. It's actually Palm Beach Currumbin High School, but I'll give you that. Correct.
That's... Yes! Good start.
Which year was the Palm Beach Currumbin High School awarded the Sports Excellence Award?
Well, I don't know if that has anything to do with Mick Fanning, but I would hazard a guess at
1996. Unlucky. Moving on. Mick Fanning has amassed 22 WCT wins in his career, six of which have come in Australia, the land down under. But tell me, which country has he won five?
He's won four in France.
I'm going to have to hurry you.
Actually, I would say it's not Hawaii because he doesn't want that many there.
Need an answer.
I'm going to say France.
It is France. He's two from three.
Boomtown.
On the Red Bull...
Me and Mick are so close.
On the Red Bull website, what does Mick cite as his favourite food?
Mick's favourite food would be sushi.
It's chocolate. Unfortunately, wrong. You're two from
sweet,
four.
A little sweet tooth, little fella.
Your last question. In 2004, Mick released his movie Fanning the Fire.
Now, what a great title.
Now, the soundtrack featured some terrible Australian music from the likes of Greenspoon, Machine Gun Fellatio, and Salmonella Dub. But which highly respectable UK act also feature?
Massive Attack.
Is incorrect. It's New Order, believe it or not.
New Order. New Order and Fanning the Fire. What a beautiful combination. They're very tricky questions, I think. I might like to add pause. In some ways, probably just verging off his career into your own little sort of weird cul-de-sacs. But
two from five, Ben. Two from five. Nobody likes...
Two?
Well, you haven't lost.
I've got state school. I've got France.
Yeah, that's it. Two from five, mate.
That's bullshit.
Okay.
I think I'm a bit worried that my questions might be not quite as sort of cunty as yours, but anyway. Okay, I've got five questions on the surf spots of the North Shore starting now. At what North Shore surf spot did big wave surfer Todd Chesser die?
Outside Alligators.
Technically to Outside Alligator Rock, but it's commonly known as the Outside Alligators. I will give you that.
Locals such as myself, Ben, just call it Alligators, FYI.
Okay.
Yes,
can you name the spot?
Yes.
Can you name the spot between Backyards and Velsy Land?
Well, there's Freddy Land.
Correct. Probably the worst wave on the North Shore.
It is.
Hence why you know it so well.
I would say it's the wave I've probably surfed the most down the years. There is actually another one, Ben, just to get you on a technicality, that they call the hook, kind of on the end of Backyards, a left-hander. But anyway, carry on.
The Jones House, where Michaela, Daniel and Marlia grew up, is a bit of an iconic institution on the North Shore. What wave breaks in front of their front garden?
Rocky Wrights, sometimes also...
Incorrect.
What are you on about?
Gas chambers, I'm afraid. It's the answer to that question.
Well, the end of Rocky Wrights is right there.
They are directly in front of gas chambers. They are a little bit to the west of Rocky Wrights. So I can't give you that question, Paul. Sorry. Okay, speaking of east and west...
That's harsh.
Which break is further west? Right overs or leftovers?
Right overs is closer towards Halley, but right overs is further west.
That is correct.
Yes, and he takes it. He takes it with three so far. Okay, yep,
and
hang on.
What break
You got this.
He's named after a song.
What break is named after a song? Wow. There's Off the Wall, Michael Jackson.
That wasn't my, because that
was an album rather than a song. That wasn't
time's running out, Paul.
That wasn't my answer. Which spot's named after a song?
Time is ticking. I'm gonna have to need an answer.
the famous
chart-topping song from 1965, Pupkay. No, it is Monster Mash. Obviously, of course.
It's called Monster Mush, the wave. So that's actually wrong. The wave's called. It's not.
It is. Mash.
That's the second worst wave on the North Shore, and also the one I've surfed second most. And it's called Monster Mush.
Yeah, named after the song. Monster.
No, it's because it's just.
It is.
It's just.
It's named after the song.
No, it isn't. It's.
What else?
It's just,
why would it be called Monster Mash if it wasn't named after Monster Mash?
No, it's called Monster Mash because it's just lines of white water and just kind of crap, like a wobbly sort of mush, just basically.
It's named after the song.
Okay, that's right. I'm questioning your Jones House one because I think from their yard is. Well, whatever. You're looking into the end of the wave at Rocky Rock.
I'm sat on that balcony looking directly at gas chambers.
Okay.
And then if you look a little bit to the right, you look at Rocky Wrights.
Okay, well, anyway, I still won, so brilliant.
yeah, you did.
Which means I'll get 5 more questions on surf spots on the North Shore of Oahu next time out. Ben, you need a new topic.
Well, what I need is you for not to make questions so obscure that no mere surf expert, which I am, understands. But my next topic will be... Bell's Beach, the Rip Curl Pro.
One of my favourites. Brilliant. I'll look forward to researching your questions.
Der Surf Europa Podcast.
Okay, well, that's pretty much all we've got time for this time out. Unfortunately, we won't be bringing in Nick Vaughan Rupp. He's just Facebook messaged and said he's got a really gnarly hangover. We'll try and get hold of him next time around, but in the meantime, thanks for listening. Don't forget to tell 6 or 7 friends about the podcast. Leave us a review on iTunes or whatever podcast capture technology you're using. And obviously subscribe. Happy surfing. Bye.